Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The U.S. talks a lot about Iran.
The leaders of Iran must recognize that now's the time for a diplomatic solution.
As I have made clear, I am fully committed to the president's goal of preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
We will work closely with our international partners to increase Iran's isolation.
It is an outrageous act where the Iranians are going to have to be held accountable.
But for all of the focus in Washington on Iran and what it is doing on terrorism or nukes, what the United States does not do with Iran is talk directly to Iranian officials. Not since the 1979 hostage crisis and the break in diplomatic relations. Might that change in the Obama second term? Might Secretary of State John Kerry change it? What other big changes are in focus for diplomacy? That's the story for this administration. From cyber warfare to Iran to China, much is in play. Joining us now is Nicholas Burns, former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs under President George W. Bush, now professor of the practice of diplomacy and international politics at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you, John.
So is the U.S. engaged in cyber war? Lots to talk about here, but let's begin there.
Well, I think the United States is being buffeted and having cyber challenges directed against it. You know, cyber is now a new dimension of warfare, potential warfare between countries. There's cyber crime directed against American companies. There are cyber threats that deal with every man, woman, and child in the United States in terms of our personal computers. So it's a threat that the U.S. government is aware of, obviously, and responding to. But obviously more needs to be done by American business and Americans individually to counteract it. But there's no question it's hard to chart where this is heading, but it's going to complicate international relations, relations between countries, among countries. And obviously the revelations in the New York Times this week concerning the government of China's activities are very, very troubling indeed.
You know, this leads us to Iran in a sense. And a year or so ago, the New York Times reported that Iran was on the front lines of the development of cyber weapons in the United States. Is this a front in the difficult relationship between the U.S. and Iran? The U.S. has never admitted publicly that it used cyber weapons against so-called government-sponsored hackers in Iran. But is this a test case of increased conflicts going forward?
I think the most significant problem between the United States and Iran is the possibility that Iran might develop a nuclear weapon. That has been the focal point of their relationship going back to the Clinton administration. It's the number one U.S. national security concern. I think it'll be the biggest issue between the two countries in 2013.
On the Iran nuclear issue, are we limited pretty much to diplomacy and the use of sanctions as a way of mobilizing Iran? Right now, if you look at North Korea, it seems to me there's not an obvious punishment for a nation that acts boldly with regard to nuclear development.
Well, it's clear that the Obama administration, like the George W. Bush administration before it, would prefer, vastly prefer, a negotiated settlement through diplomacy with the Iranians on the nuclear issue. Both administrations have used economic sanctions, financial sanctions, as a way to pressure the Iranians to the negotiating table. And both of them, and most notably President Obama, have threatened the use of force against Iran should negotiations not succeed or should Iran not be amenable to negotiations. So I think there is that third option. But there's no question that President Obama, and he's right about this, believes that the best solution here would be extended negotiations between the United States and Iran. We haven't talked to each other in the better part of 30 years, not in a serious and sustained basis.
Would you then favor a resumption of diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Iran without preconditions as a way of resetting the deck and really getting into some more substantive talks?
I actually wouldn't favor right now resuming diplomatic relations. I think we need to have some conversations with the Iranians first to test whether or not that government in Tehran is serious about meeting us halfway. We have had suspended diplomatic relations now since November of 1979 or the autumn of 1979. That's far too long since the Jimmy Carter administration not to be talking to another country. But they need to be serious about negotiations. And frankly, we didn't see that when I served As Undersecretary of State for Secretary Rice, Condi Rice, we didn't see a seriousness of purpose by the Iranians. President Obama has gone out of his way to try to meet them halfway, to try to get them to the negotiating table. He's been eminently fair about this, but they have resisted this. And that's the major problem that we have right now.
Finally, if you look at the narrative of the tension between Iran and the rest of the world regarding the nuclear issue, it seems as the instability increases inside Iran, both within the clergy, and there have been reports about that coming out of the U.S. government, and within the political sector, I don't even need to talk about President Ahmadinejad and the issues there and the scandal that's going on in Iran right now, in fact. As instability increases, it only incentivizes Iran to go down this road, and it's almost as though the talks drive that incentive in an atmosphere of Iranian instability.
Well, one of the major problems here is instability within the leadership circles in Iran. President Ahmadinejad is a declining figure politically. He doesn't have much power. He's going to be leaving office in a matter of months. The really important figure there is the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. He is now centralizing control around himself and the Revolutionary Guards. They're elbowing out of the way most of the political leaders who stand for some kind of dialogue with the United States. So the challenge for President Obama and Secretary John Kerry is very real. They're facing a very rigid, very isolated group of leaders in Tehran who don't travel very much, who don't meet many foreign leaders. They seem to have a lot of incorrect views and assumptions about the United States. So I think the first order of business here is just to get to the negotiating table, establish maybe even a modicum, an elementary level of trust between the two delegations, at least to move forward, and to try to see if by an extended negotiation we might be able to convince the Iranians to stop short of nuclear weapons, to agree to much greater international inspection. I think that's the right policy. To resort to war right now doesn't make any sense, especially when you haven't tried diplomacy. But I also think that there's two other things, John, we've got to do. One is we've got to repair our public divisions with Israel. It has not been helpful to have President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel feuding publicly, and I think the president recognizes this. That, I think, will be a major goal of the president's trip to Israel in mid-March. And secondly, we do have to let the Iranians know that if they fail to negotiate and if they continue to drive their nuclear enrichment program towards a nuclear capability or a nuclear weapon, that we do have the ultimate threat of force. Now, I don't want to see us use force if we can possibly avoid it, but that threat of force might be the most effective way to convince the Iranian leadership actually to negotiate.
Nicholas Burns is former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs under President George W. Bush, now professor of the practice of diplomacy and international politics at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.